Well, welcome to Local Matters. This is an exciting and eventful time of the year. We have been through profound challenges in the past few months, and our guest today is someone who's been right at the center of the bullseye on part of those challenges anyway. Our guest is Corby King, the Director of Schools for Putnam County. Corby, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Bell. You say exciting and challenging. I'll go with challenging. We'll go there. Well,
yeah.
It's been a lot to learn.
Oh, man.
Interesting time.
It has been an interesting time. And this is the first time you've been on the air with me anyway since you've officially accepted the permanent position of Director of Schools. So congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. And that part is exciting. And that's something that I had been working on for several years now, and putting myself in a position to be prepared if this opportunity came up. And so I was a little bit surprised last month at the board meeting when they moved forward with that. Thankful, but also that is exciting for me and for my family. And I do look forward to the opportunities and the challenges.
Well, and you were superbly qualified for it. As you said, you just got to be ready when the time happens. You never know exactly when it's going to happen, but
right. You
were ready, and that's great. But boy, what a time to walk into the position of Director of Schools. Tornado, and then immediately after the tornado, the coronavirus. How are you coping with all of this?
You know, still taking things one day at a time, and that's the way that I try to encourage our faculty and our staff, our administrators. We want to be a resource for families. This is a difficult time in our community, starting with the tornado and the night that hit. Those families still haven't recovered. They're still suffering. They're still displaced. They're still trying to rebuild. And we want to be there and be a resource for them. We only had a week or so after that, and then all of the closures started happening for the coronavirus, and the governor closing schools for initially a short period and then extending that for the remainder of the year. So as new information comes in, we're just trying to roll with it, make decisions as best we can to support families and support the students that we serve.
Well, and I know it's challenging, and there are new executive orders every day, it seems like.
Yes.
It's just, I know it's hard to keep up, but we're coming up in the month of May. It's traditionally the end of the school year. This has been a historic one for sure. So we've made history and are making it. But tell us what you can about plans for year end.
So right now, there was a lot of concern, a lot of questions about, will we extend the school year? Will we go into the summer? Will we do those things? No, we're not. Our school is set to end by the calendar on May 22nd. We're going to end the school year on May 22nd, just like it's on the calendar and scheduled. For our students, for this period, this remote learning period that we have been in since March 20th, we are going to end that May 15th. We are experiencing some challenges with that. We've learned a lot over the last couple of months.
No one was ready for this, were we?
Not really, you know, but we were in a better position than most of our friends and neighbors in other school systems, and even the large ones across the state. Some of the foresight that Mr. Boyd had previously, and Sam Brooks, I know you're familiar with Sam, through our vital team,
program,
the personalized learning.
Yeah.
So some of the things that they had put in place, we were in a better position to move into this than many others.
Yeah, Putnam County Vital had been benchmarked by a lot of county school systems.
Absolutely.
So we were ahead of the curve.
And they're still calling us, how are you doing this? What are you providing? How are we going to use this moving forward? And that they will play a big role as we move into the fall planning as well. We will spend significant time over the summer getting ready to come back to whatever the normal is going to look like in the fall. And our vital team will be a big part of that.
Well, that's great. What else is happening at end of year at this point? What can you say?
Wow.
I know some things are probably still up in the air. They are pretty much statewide.
They really are. So end of the year, the big focus is for seniors. And what a difficult, challenging time for the seniors and their families. We are planning graduation ceremonies. We're working on that as we speak, trying to find locations, find times, find dates. We are hoping to be able to provide those by the end of May, 1st of June, have a ceremony for our graduates. Prom is still up in the air, working with the health department, health officials. But there are some possibilities that we want to explore over the next week or two. But right now, we just really need to see how the community responds to coronavirus. Our numbers are still trending upward. We don't want to put our students in a situation where it's not safe.
No.
So we still have some things to work out before we can finalize any kind of information about a prom. But graduation, we're trying to set some guidelines and parameters to allow families to come to a ceremony.
But even there, it's parents and grandparents often and
we're not gonna,
some at-risk groups.
You know, really, we're not going to dictate who comes. We're going to encourage folks in a high-risk group to stream that. We're going to stream it on Facebook Live.
Right.
WCT will air the ceremonies for us. We will have to limit the number of guests per graduate when we have this. In limiting those, we're not going to dictate to the family how they use the limit. We're looking at four guests per graduate, and we'll let the families determine who those four guests will be. But if it's a high-risk grandparent, a high-risk sibling or parent, we would encourage you to stream the ceremony. I know that they want to be there.
Sure.
That's important for them, but it's just not worth the risk within our community.
Yeah, given what we've seen nationwide,
absolutely,
the downside is just too great.
It is. We're going to provide social distancing within the bleachers for wherever we hold the ceremonies. We're going to set families, you know, those four together, but then 6 feet between the families, and then go every other or every three rows in a bleachers. We're looking at outdoor stadiums for the graduation ceremonies, which is new for us. We've never done that in Putnam County. But they will be an outdoor graduation ceremony, so we can provide appropriate social distancing. We anticipate there might be some screening coming in, checking temps, things like that. But we do encourage, if you're sick, if you've had any symptoms, please stay home. Please don't put yourself or our staff or the health department staff in a situation where we would have to ask you not to come in.
Right.
So we'll be messaging those type things to families as we move forward. And once we have the dates set for the graduations, and I know that's the big pressure from families right now is when's it going to be? When's it going to be? We're hoping to do that by the first weekend in June. The weather will play a part because they will be outdoor. We're still working out some of the details. And
brings back great memories for me, though. My high school graduation was outdoors. And I remember in the processional, a bunny rabbit jumped in the line right in front of me.
That would leave a story. So there's something to look forward to, those type challenges that we've not had.
Well, it's I know we're still trying our best to make this senior year end on a very positive note for
Absolutely.
The students. And for their parents, too.
It is. You know, there are a lot of things in the community. The radio stations have been great. They're reaching out, trying to put some things together for us. Again, WCT, we've got some great local partners here offering whatever services they can provide. We're trying to nail some of those things down for the students and for their families.
Well, that's great. This is Local Matters. We are talking to Corby King, the director of Putnam County Schools, about this historic time in the county school system. Corby, let's talk for a moment about the sickness itself, the illness itself. We don't want to use names, obviously, but have any teachers or students been impacted that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of. We had one teacher early on that we had heard might have a positive test, but that this was back in March when all of the testing first started occurring over spring break. To my knowledge, that came back negative, which we were closed, so it didn't necessarily impact the students or where we were. We were already out of school before that information came in that we had a teacher that might have a positive test. That test came back negative. So I'm not aware of a student. We've been told there's been one or two that were under, I can't remember what the health department calls it, but under suspicion.
Yeah,
I think
sort of a quarantine of
something
kind
like that. Quarantine, they might.
Just looking at them.
But then their test came back negative.
Good, yeah.
So to my knowledge, we've not had a teacher or a student, but then we've been out of school for an extended period of time now.
Right.
So we might not be getting all of those reports.
Sure.
That we would have gotten had we been in school.
Yeah, there would have been contact then, and there wasn't any contact this way. So,
correct.
Yeah. So that's actually a good thing that there hasn't been any contact. Well, what do you think, and we'll talk more about this after the break, but what do you think in terms of students, what's been the biggest impact on the students during this
emergency? For what I feel like the biggest impact is just that loss of direct classroom instruction and the loss of learning time. And there's no way we can replicate that in a home environment. It doesn't matter what we do in this remote learning. You know, Zoom is not going to replicate that in an hour-long session. The Screencastify or Loom meetings, our teachers are doing some really creative things and providing opportunities for students. But having that interaction with their peers, but also with the teacher in the face-to-face setting, there's just no way to replicate that in a home setting. So our students have experienced a tremendous loss of learning time in classroom instruction.
And that's nationwide. That's not just here in Putnam County. That's going to be a challenge we're all going to continue to see.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And I think for those that are seniors and going on to college, colleges are going to see that in the fall class.
Absolutely, they are. And you know, from even the undergrads and graduates that have been in this remote learning period for the last couple of months at the university level, being prepared next fall, going into whatever next class in their sequence might be building, there's a loss of instruction. They didn't receive some of those last few weeks. It's just not as in-depth as what it would be in that face-to-face setting. And we're going to see the same thing. Those students who were in an integrated one are not going to be as prepared going into integrated two as they might have been if we were in that classroom setting. So those courses and sequences that build a student in first, second grade, they've missed out on some instruction that would have prepared them for next year. So there are going to be some challenges that we will need to overcome when we come back in the fall. But we will do that. That's what teachers do.
It is.
You prepare, you find the gaps, you meet the instruction wherever the students might be. We just hope that we're going to be back in school and that we're going to be able to have students in the classrooms, teachers in the classrooms. We're watching what the health community says we can do. We'll absolutely follow the guidelines, whatever recommendations or guidance that the CDC and the health department gives us for returning to school in the fall. I know that weighs heavy on a lot of minds for parents and teachers right now. We will continue to follow that. It changes daily still. We're 2 months in and it's still changing daily. So we will provide the best instruction we can under whatever circumstances we return to in the fall.
Mm. Well, it's going to be a challenge. This is Local Education Matters, and we are talking to Corby King, the Director of Schools for Putnam County. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Corby King, the Director of Schools for Putnam County, and talking about this historic time that we're in. And Corby, we sort of ended the last session talking about what students have lost. They've lost a lot of that personal contact with the teacher, and really they've lost the last 2 months of their student experience, haven't they?
They really have, and there's no way you can replace that. So much of the fun activities that students and teachers look forward to, field trips, field days, awards ceremonies. There's just a lot of fun things that happen at the end of a school year. You know, instruction-wise, there's a lot of buildup leading up into the state testing window, which occurs late April and early May. And then once we get through that, we would be wrapping up about this time. We're here the 1st of May. That would be wrapping up. And in these last 2 or 3 weeks of school, there's a lot of fun activities that the students get to participate in. They look forward to those all year, and they're missing those as well as the instruction time that's built in. There's a lot of time that teachers spend moving into next year's standards, next year's learning, exposing students to that they're missing out on at this time of year. So it's difficult to not be there and see the students and have that contact.
And in spring sports and championship seasons, I know Upperman and Monterey, boy, so just the season hit a wall, didn't it?
We had three teams that were in the state tournament for basketball this year, you know, both Upperman girls and boys that were there, and then the Monterey boys that were slated to be in the state tournament. So not getting to finish those out. The athletes that were on the bubble for some college scholarship opportunities that aren't getting those final looks right now, that's difficult. You know, for me personally, I was a high school TSSAA high school umpire, baseball umpire for 24 years. So not being on the baseball field this spring for those players and those coaches, I can't imagine that. I've been out now for 3 or 4 years, and I still miss that.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine for those who have been working hard and building up ready for that spring season all year, soccer, track, wrestling, and I'll leave something out if I try to name them all. But the student athletes work so hard all year, and then just to have those seasons wiped out.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And for those that weren't going on to college, this is the end of 10 years or so of this kind
of
activity.
All the work, all the hard things, the senior nights, the things that were there. And it is. I mean, it's relatively small number of student athletes that do have the opportunity to move from the high school level on to college. So for all of those seniors who were not going to have that opportunity to miss out on that final year and not to even have any warning that this was coming.
Yes.
It's not like they lost it to an injury on the field playing or something like that that came up. You know, they were prepared, they were ready, and then it was just gone.
Just boom. So. Well, hopefully at some time in the future, the awards ceremonies and the letter ceremonies and everything will still give them some sense of closure. Well, you were talking earlier about end-of-year testing. I know many colleges and universities are waiving some of the standardized tests, the ACT or the SAT. Talk about that a bit and what that does for a student.
So, you know, all of our juniors are required to take the ACT. There were still a few that it was a graduation requirement that you have to take the ACT. The State Board of Education waived that requirement. Some of the colleges and universities, and I think it's individual, I think it's not specific to any one. There's not a blanket waiver, but I think there are some colleges and universities that waive some of the testing requirements that might have otherwise been there. So a senior who was retaking the ACT or the SAT to get a higher score to get into a certain university, I think some of those requirements might be waived. But that would be to the individual institution that the student would be applying.
And they might have a chance sometime in the fall or in the summer to retake that if they need to.
Absolutely. There's some dual enrollment, dual credit type testing that did not occur for high school credit. I think those are either going to be postponed into the fall or possibly waived. There's still some information that hadn't come out yet from the universities, how they're going to handle that. But for the state testing requirements in Tennessee, the State Board of Education waived all state testing. So if it was just a requirement for testing, that was waived.
Wow.
For our seniors, 22 requirements, credit requirements to graduate high school, the state board approved that it's only 20 requirements. So there's some of the elective type requirements that a student might not have had. They didn't have to get the history requirement for the civics exam. That got waived. So you didn't have, haven't taken that yet, you didn't have to have it to graduate. So lots of changes.
Lots of changes. Well, let's talk a little bit about something that teachers talk about that's called the summer slump. It works in elementary school as well as all the way up. And I know in my case, I played a lot of tennis in college and in high school. And man, if I laid off that game for a few months, I really couldn't play the same way. That's true in mathematics just as much as it is in tennis, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the research shows that there is a loss of learning over that 8 weeks that we're out in the summer.
And now it's going to be longer than that.
Right. And for us in Putnam County, since we've been on the more what we call a balanced calendar, taking the short breaks throughout the year, our summer's already shorter a little bit than some other districts by a couple of weeks. You know, we're on the 8 week summer, but there's still a learning loss and there's a gap. You know, that summer slide, summer slump that you referred to, that's really extended for a lot of our students because rather than being out for 8 weeks, now they're out for 17 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's really double what normally they would be out in the summer. That's why we've been encouraging students and families to stay engaged with us on the remote learning plan, to continue working, continue talking to their teachers, the assignments that are there, continue to do those. We're going to continue that through May 15th. And that's just to help reduce that summer slide. It's to help prepare them for next school year.
Well, it's going to be a challenge. And I know teachers are talking with parents about what they can do to help, certainly in the elementary age, reading to kids and preschool reading is just vital, isn't it?
It is. We still encourage, you know, parents 20 minutes a day for preschool, even before preschool age. But birth to kindergarten, 20 minutes a day is so important. If parents would just, whatever the books may be, if you've signed up for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, that's a huge resource. You get that free book every month. The local library is a huge resource. We provide books through the WOW bus that comes around at certain schools, and it'll be out this summer with the summer feeding programs. So we encourage families to come by, pick up the free books, take advantage of those resources, and just read to their children 20 minutes a day. Makes a huge difference.
Well, that's critical, I know. Let's shift over to the other side of the equation for a minute and talk about teachers. What do you think has been the biggest impact on teachers of this coronavirus emergency that we've had?
You know, I think the unknown. Teachers are missing their students. You know, this is not the optimal way to teach. They know their students are struggling. Teachers worry about, you know, we've got kids who are not in good situations in their homes.
Right.
Teachers know that. They know more about the children sometimes than they care to admit. The kids talk to them, and so they're worried about them. They're worried about those students who are in a home where food might be an issue, shelter might be an issue, maybe some type of abuse situations where it's just not very supportive. The teachers are very concerned about that. So it takes an emotional toll on them, not having that contact and being there with them daily. The professional learning curve for teachers has been tremendous over the past few weeks.
Oh, boy, yeah.
You know, we have got teachers who were already on these personalized learning teams in the schools and were kind of leading the way. So they can fall into this remote learning period and just lean on those skills they've been building over the past few years. But for teachers who were not on those personalized learning teams or who were just kind of beginning that, this has been a huge learning curve for them, and we will continue working with them through the summer to provide additional professional learning and supports, just so that when we come back in the fall, they will be better adept at using the resources we have available.
Well, and I know the fall is going to be challenging. You're planning for it now.
We are.
What are the big things that are impacting that plan at this point?
You know, it's the unknown. We want to be ready, whatever it may be, when we come back in the fall. We hope to be back in a traditional setting, but we know there are going to be some challenges. There will be students that will be out possibly for a longer period of time. If a student gets sick, has a positive test, and they have to be out for 2-3 weeks, how are we going to meet their needs? How are we going to meet their resources? So we're trying to add some staff and some other things to be ready for that. We will work with teachers to provide a common platform for teachers to put their lessons, their assignments, and be ready for students that are out for an extended period of time, or if that teacher has to miss because they might have a positive test for coronavirus and have to miss for an extended period of time.
Wow. So, it's going to be a challenge. We will keep you coming back as often as you can come to keep us informed about this.
Anytime you guys would like to have me here, I appreciate the opportunity to continue getting our story out.
Well, thank you for the outstanding work you're doing. It's a challenge, I know, and we appreciate the good work you're doing.
Thank you, Dr. Bell.
We have been talking to Corby King, the Director of Schools for Putnam County, and this has been Local Matters. Corby, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.